2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read 14 through 17. And briefly give you a bit of a challenge as well as an encouragement on a very small matter. Very small. The 14th verse says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always, always causes us to triumph in Christ." Again, I just point out that the word "cause" there is a word that means continuously, repeatedly, bracketed from one end to the other. "Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us." I would like you just to note the "by us." Underline it, make it a little notation there, but those are key words, "by us." In every place. I want to back up again where very much the same sense or tense of the word "cause" is seen in the word "manifest," where he makes manifest continuously, repeatedly, without ending, the savor. The word "savor" has in mind an idea of a fragrance, a perfuming fragrance, something that is pleasant to the experience. He continuously makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge, and again, key words are "by us," us, in every place. In your home, your neighborhood, your workplace, where you shop, where your doctor is, where your dentist operates, where your mailman comes on your porch, in every place conceivable. For verse 15, "We are unto God a sweet savor." There's that fragrance again, described as sweet, a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. I thought about that, about how the fragrance affects those that perish. And the thing that came to my mind was, whenever you go into a funeral parlor, you can sometimes be overwhelmed with the smell of the flowers that are around the room. And literally, the person who's there, the feature attraction, so to speak, is perished. But in a spiritual sense, you know, among the living dead, those who are still dead in trespasses and sin, there is still something to be said about the pleasant fragrance that Christians ought to bear, even in their company, which would go to say that under no circumstance do we want to stink the place out when in the company of the lost. And, you know, sometimes Christians can do that. So here we have, "We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which are corrupt," or which corrupt the word of God, "but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." I want to come back up again to the 14th verse. "Thanks be unto God, which always ceaselessly causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest continuously the savor of his knowledge by us." Very little thing. Now think about this. We are reminded that James, in his discussion of little things, we've been talking in the past couple of weeks about the tongue being a little member. And it is. But as poisonous and as toxic as it can be, there is the great potential for the little member, your tongue, to do great good. Absolutely great good. James, when he writes about this, he talks about the ships, which though they be so great, are driven to fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small helm, comparatively, that which steers the or controls the rudder, very small in comparison to the size of the vessel. And when I was thinking about that, it occurred to me again, I think it was a story that appeared some time ago in the Sunday School Times. I don't even know if that publication is in print anymore. But it talks about this Sunday school teacher, this very lovely lady who had a class full of young children, mostly girls. And she, as I recall the story, the Sunday school teacher was very, very outward oriented and was always very active in missions outreach in her church. And in the course of conversation, she would bring this up in her Sunday school class. And then on one occasion, she had mentioned it to her children, and that she was getting a box ready, Sylvia Hook style, to send to a missionary. Okay, and there it passed without comment. You know, kids, how they can be. You know, they can be looking off east and west and looking like they're not clued in, but they're registering what you're saying. And so during the course of the week, the Sunday school teacher was getting this box ready to go. And she was going to send it to a destination in Southeast Asia. And she hears a knock at the door, and here comes one of her children, one of her little students, a little girl. And she says to the teacher, she says, "I don't have much to give. But," she says, "I do have this little penny, one little copper penny. Would you please take that and put it in your box?" Well, you know, the Sunday school teacher, "Well, I certainly, you know, but now think about it. What does one little penny get you if you put it in the missions box?" So, you know, you take note, well, it's the thought that counts, yeah? And you don't want to discourage the child in her generous endeavor to contribute to the occasion. And so she gladly took the one little penny. And what she did with that penny was buy a tract. She bought a tract. And she put it in the box with all the other stuff. And as I understand the story was that the lady relayed this account. Listen to this. She said, this tract that she bought, put into the box, eventually came into the hands of a Burmese chieftain. And it was used of God to lead him to a saving knowledge of Christ. The chief, in return, told the story of his conversion and his great happiness to all of his friends. Many of them also believed and cast away their idols. A church was built there. As this lady recollected, a missionary arrived on the scene. And at least 1,500 of his countrymen, 1,500 were converted from heathenism, cast their idols away, and established homes for Christ right there in the jungles of Burma. And all of this, she recounts, is probably, and probably more, was the result of one shiny penny given for Jesus' sake. One little penny. Little things can do marvelous things. When you think about the tracts, I would encourage you to do this. I'm sort of like with tracts. I'm hot and cold. You know, sometimes when I get really enthused, I start sending tracts to my personal friends, or I start putting them in mail that I send to different locations. And I always carry them in my pocket, and so that when the occasion arises, I can give one to someone under the appropriate circumstances. You got to be careful with tracts, because not all of them, you know, some of them are for Christian people, some of them are for lost people, some of them are for folks who are grieving, and some of them who need encouragement. So you got to read the tract before you give it out, so that you know exactly what you're putting in the hands of other people. You know, we got, for example, this is a one that Pastor Hosh published on eternal life. Very simple to keep in your pocket. Put it in a little folder a little track folder like this. They stuck it down in there and keep it with you everywhere you go. And I was looking through my stack, and I got a whole box of tracts that would probably date back to, I'm thinking, to the early 80s, you know. And, you know, life's most important question. And then I remember Don Guthrie, he gave me this thing. He gave me this, a dollar bill. And then this one here is what really sets you on edge. This is one of these kinds you got to be careful who you give it to. You see what's there? A hearse. And the question is, you may tie your shoestrings in the morning, but the undertaker may untie them before nightfall. Are you ready to meet your maker? So you hand the tract to the person. And then on the back of it says, if you die and go to hell, who cares? Some verses there. Do you care? Okay. There's a tract. And this is a good one too, I think, produced in-house. What must I do to be saved? This is a great tract. Great tract. Doesn't overwhelm with a lot of details. You know, some tracts can be too busy. But this one doesn't give you a lot of busy stuff. It's right to the point. And then this one here's an excellent one. God's bridge to eternal life. Comes with pictures. And this is basically what we have installed on our webpage at Grace Baptist. So first thing a person sees when they queue up our webpage is this tract that they can run right through it from segment to segment to segment right to the end. And then you have this one here is a little bit, this will bristle people, but are you born again? That's a good tract too. We've had that in operation for 30 some years. I never discuss religion or politics. This is a great track for this time of the year. Come to Sunday school, you know, one of those for those people who have it. Then you have this kind of a tract here, my strength for a Christian, somebody who's feeling down in the dumps. Here's a tract you put in their hands. Nothing wrong with giving a tract to a brother or sister, by the way. And remember, unless you think, and you know, something like this, trick or treat. You know, if you've got these folks coming to your house, well, you give them candy if you want, or you can put something like this in their hands. It might get dumped out with the candy wrappers, or it might be picked up in the sovereign grace of God and read by somebody. Who but God knows? Then you have this one here, the attack. This is for more Christian provocative thinking. Comes with all kind of pictures. It's a chick tract. And then this one here, that's the publisher. The publisher. Okay, the publisher. Chick Publications. Okay. And then you have one like this, the Romans Road. And again, I say read them carefully before you put them in the hands of people. Now, lest you think that a little thing like this, so insignificant, couldn't possibly turn the tide in anybody's life. Just remember this little story. And remember, even though you may have given tracts to people before, there's nothing against the law of God that says you can't put another one in their hands and keep praying the tract in that they might read it and that the Spirit of God, above all, that the Spirit of God will enlighten them and illumine them and that they might have the truth of it. One small little detail that should never be overlooked, and I remind you again of what verse 14 says in those two little words. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. Who? By who? So I encourage you, if you don't have a supply of these things, how about I'll get my box out, you hunt and pick through what you think is nice. And if God so leads you to get a handful of these, pick up the stuff that's out there on the table as well, by all means. Begin the filling up the room with the fragrance of Christ. Deacons, we will meet for a few moments, and let me pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kindness, for the blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We love you with all of our hearts. Help us to serve you well until we see you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.